Chris Lowe, I'm sure, has an opinion on it. He joins us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Are you okay with these Tennessee alternate uniforms, Chris?
Tennessee uniforms or Oklahoma State?
No, the Tennessee dark mode that they decided to go with yesterday.
That's a great concept.
I was being a little suspicious.
Oh, yeah, no.
They look a little bit like some of the Oklahoma State uniforms.
They do?
You know what? That's just where we are right now, I guess, in college football. There's always something new. Everybody's got an apparel, you know, sponsor Adidas, Nike, and it's a way to market and get new stuff out there and sell. It's, you know, what's it ultimately about? Recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are 17- and 18-year-old kids, you know, in this age like? They like different. They like new. They like the different type of things, unique. And that's what it's about. I'm more of a traditionalist. I know I'm getting old. I'm not a get-off-my-lawn kind of guy. but I am old. Somewhere in his grave, though, John Majors is turning over. Because he couldn't get enough orange on his uniform. I mean, you remember when they played on the road, he started to wear the orange pants?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes at home, they'd wear orange on orange. You look around the country, and a lot of teams are doing this, you know. Now, some aren't. I mean, I can't remember the last time Bama's changed their uniforms.
They might give you like a houndstooth collar, I think that's about the extent that you're going to get there. Yeah,
but there's a lot of this going on, new coach trying to really gain some pop and some momentum. Josh Heupel is, and a great win last week. You know, a dominant win, and you got South Carolina coming in, a team that you're going to be, you know, favored to win and probably should be. So, you know, you try to sort of capture, I guess, that momentum and go with a little bit of an alternate uniform. Ultimately, if Tennessee gets back to beating Florida, Georgia, and Alabama some, the Vols can wear purple. I think
doesn't matter.
Be happy.
Yep. Chris Lowe of ESPN joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at C Lowe ESPN. I kind of want to go ahead and start there with Tennessee because I was looking through a few things yesterday and just kind of thinking about where a couple of teams are. And obviously the majority of our conversation this week has been Alabama, Georgia. And you look down that Georgia schedule, it's not very frightening. I don't think people feel like there are a ton of big challenges there. Kentucky game, I'll just say it. I think it's a bad matchup for Kentucky. Just the way they want to play and the way Georgia plays, it's not a good matchup. Same for Auburn. Florida's Florida, and I think if Anthony Richardson's a much bigger part and you kind of bust him out then, maybe that's something that could be scary. But would I be completely bananas if I said that dark horse, scary team for Georgia this year might be Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, you're a little crazy there.
Okay, that's fine. Most people do think that.
I just don't see Tennessee being there personnel-wise. You know, I was in Athens last week. I had my first chance to see that team up close and personal. They're just way, way better than Tennessee personnel-wise. In the lines of scrimmage,
yep.
Playmakers. You know, granted, I think Stetson Bennett's going to be the quarterback for a while. You guys may disagree. I think he's going to be the quarterback going forward unless, you know, he gets in there and just has these issues and they feel like that JT Daniels is 100% healthy and ready to go. We'll see, you know, but other than quarterback, and I think Stetson does exactly what they wanted to do. You know, he can move. He doesn't turn the football over. Georgia is just, I mean, they have recruited at such a high level. And you look at their backups, you know, across the front defensively and the defensive secondary, those guys would be starting at Tennessee right now. So I just think Georgia's way too good. Their personnel is way too good for Tennessee to pull that upset.
Yeah, not saying I think it happens for sure. I'm starting to think Hendon Hooker was the real fit for this offense. And I know against those type defenses, which it's a little more sleek than it was, you know, with Kirby and Saban were together 7-8 years ago. But if you're running as fast as they can run, if that thing is going on all cylinders, and you find 2-3 plays that are kind of working and going for you, it can be a real headache. Now, do I think Tennessee would get a single stop in that game? No, I do not. So you'd probably be looking at a 58-52 type game, but I don't really believe that yet. I'm kind of projecting that if Tennessee stays healthy, especially on offense, That thing might be running at a clip that if they found something in that game, it could be a little bit dangerous, kind of sneaky dangerous in that game. But again, like you said, I'm kind of crazy.
If Tennessee scores 40 plus on Georgia, I'm going to predict that McElroy will wear a Auburn pullover for the next year.
We will allow that. Absolutely, we'll allow that. Chris Lowe of ESPN with us on the Bud Light Hotline. Let's shift over to the team that I think everybody really wants to see Georgia play. That's Alabama. And you know Coach Saban as well as any media member. And you've been able to be in Tuscaloosa a couple of times over the last few weeks. I'm interested just to get your thoughts on how you believe Nick Saban views his football team right now. How does he see, what does he think about this year's team?
Still got a ways to go on offense, especially sort of getting things settled in the offensive line. Not nearly, of course this is not a revelation, but not nearly as dynamic and explosive a receiver. Got to continue to sort of develop some of those younger guys. They brought in really talented guys, but you know, when you lose a Waddle and a Devontae Smith, and that's not to say they're bad at receiver, because they're not. But just overall, in my talks with Nick, that just they just got to grow a lot on offense and sort of find out who they were. We saw against Ole Miss, I don't think you guys were surprised by this. They did what I thought they were going to do. And I'm not saying I thought they were going to jump out 35-0, but they just pounded Ole Miss physically. I see, that's the thing I know that in talking to Nick and people close to that program, you know, still Joe Pendry, and is a guy that Saban trusts implicitly. You know, when you start talking about the offense, he's always in touch with Joe. That's the one thing I think Bama, certainly under Bill O'Brien now, has kept the ability to do, is to, when they need to, and they really need to, they will pound you. They will bloody your nose. And I think he wants to see that continue to grow and yet continue to be balanced and do all the things offensively that they've done over the last few years and continue to evolve. I think defensively their best football is still to come. I think they're going to get better and better. You know, 31, Will Anderson, I think is the best defensive player in football. You know, he was banged up, sort of gutted through that Florida game. You know, I think he's going to get healthier. But I think they will get better, and they're so good across the front that, you know, I know in talking to Coach Saban, he feels like they still got to play with a little bit more discipline. He's never going to be satisfied on defense. You guys know that. But you look at all the players they lost, and this is something he talked to me about, all the great players they lost off last year's team. And you can look around the NFL now, and most of those guys, a lot of them are starting, not just playing, but starting. And you look at where Alabama is now, even for Bama and the way they've recruited and the way they've developed players, I think it's pretty remarkable that they're playing at the level they're playing at right now, having lost that many elite players.
I don't think there's any doubts. So when you see a couple of injuries that are beginning to hit that team, Jace McClellan at running back, Drew Sanders at outside linebacker, having already lost Christopher Allen earlier in the year, how concerning should that be for Alabama fans?
Well, I mean, we got up a few years ago. Remember when they lost all those linebackers? And even for Bama, it took a toll. So, yeah, you lose a few more at those spots when we've already gotten hit, you know, linebacker, running back. You know, Brian Robinson carried the football, 36 times last week? You know, that's a tough load. I mean, he's a tough kid, but he's not Derrick Henry. I don't think he can be able to do that every week, so you're going to have to create some more depth there. And that's what I said a minute ago in talking to Coach, is that some of those younger guys, some of those guys they brought in, they're going to need them to continue to step up, and I think running back and linebacker are certainly two of those positions.
We're visiting with Chris Lowe of ESPN. He's joining us on the Bud Light Hotline at C Lowe ESPN. Follow him on Twitter. So the game that Alabama will be involved in this weekend, we know they go to College Station. We know they take on Texas A&M, but also Jimbo Fisher, who is now staring down the barrel of three consecutive losses. It has happened to him once in his career back in, I believe, 2011 at Florida State. What happens to Jimbo? What happens to Texas A&M if they drop this game to Alabama, especially if they drop it in the way that most of us believe that they will?
Well, see, I'll be honest. I take it a step further. I think they're going to drop a few more games. I mean, I think they could be looking at 7-5 when it's all said and done, 8-4. And when you look at the expectations, Cole, of what this team, everybody thought they would be coming into the season, that's quite a blow. I know Jimbo really liked Haynes King. He felt like he was his kind of quarterback. And clearly that's had an impact on this team offensively. But here's where I'm most disappointed with Texas A&M. They just haven't been as dominant or as good defensively. know, they've given up more than 170 rushing yards in three of their games this year. And when you look at their talent and their personnel on defense, that really shouldn't happen. And see, and that's where I think talking about Bam a minute ago and their ability to really pound you, I think that's what they're going to try to do to A&M and say, listen, you know, if we're going to, unless you guys play us differently on defense, we're going to try to pound you running the football. But no, if they lose three in a row going into the last half of the season, it starts to get pretty loud in College Station. They just gave Jimbo a huge raise, taking him to $9 million a year. That's when, you know, you don't want to worry about the noise. You don't want to think about the distractions. But as a player and anybody connected to that program, it gets difficult to do that because you go into the last part of your season having lost three in a row and just trying to avoid it being a disaster of a season.
Chris, staying on the topic of how important certain games are for certain individuals, LSU travels to Lexington this weekend. I'm excited to go and be a part of this game because I think Kentucky obviously has a lot to be excited about. That atmosphere is going to be phenomenal. But a totally different mindset, a totally different feeling, and maybe totally different results will follow LSU into Lexington. Where are we with LSU if they drop this game to the Kentucky Wildcats?
Well, both of you guys do a great job of studying teams and that you're going to, you know, go cover. I mean, you really do, and I mean that sincerely. And I know you guys have done this. When you look at LSU's personnel and where kids were ranked in recruiting and who wanted them versus Kentucky's personnel and where they were ranked and who wanted them, there's no way, and we all know that football is not played on paper or based on recruiting rankings, there's no way when you just stack up the personnel that LSU should be able to beat Kentucky. And what that says is, it still says something about coaching kids and developing kids and building a culture where you create competition on the practice field. Kids want to get better. They buy into everything you're doing. And, boy, Mark Stoops has built that at Kentucky and then some. He's probably per capita done as good a job developing as anybody. And I think for LSU, they go in there and they take another loss, then it really, really starts to get ugly. In Baton Rouge. Now, I'll say this. The thing I don't know about Kentucky is coming off such a big emotional win, how vulnerable will they be? Will there be a little bit of a letdown? Is LSU desperate right now, or are they just sort of wounded? I don't know, but I think this is a big, will be a big question mark that Kentucky can answer, that they can follow up on such a big win against Florida and beat an LSU team at home this Saturday.
Chris, great stuff. Really do appreciate it. One of the best. Always enjoy your insight. Look forward to having you back again soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Chris Lowe, ESPN, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline.